Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Back in 1991, many of you will remember that the Iron Curtain, the Soviet Union, dissolved. At that time, Zhenya was serving a prison sentence at the ripe old age of 15 years old. And after the Iron Curtain had fallen, we had opportunity to send missionaries to the Ukraine to preach the gospel. It was in a prison cell that Zhenya heard the gospel, repented, and put his faith in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He was saved. And after he was released from prison, he sensed God's call to ministry, and he began his journey preparing for pastoral ministry. Sometime after that, around 1994, 95, somewhere along in there, a man by the name of Pavel Yevtushenko, who has since been the regional pastor of that area in the Kherson Oblast, came to our church with Dr. Don Jackson, who at that time was our director of missions, and appealed to the church to get involved in sharing the gospel of Jesus in the Kherson Oblast. And our church did so. For several years, we raised money and sent money to the Ukraine in order to build churches. The first church that we had a hand in building was located in Podstetnoye. And this is the church as it is today. Our church here, the First Baptist Winton, that was our sister church back in the mid-1990s. And through your gifts, through your giving, we built that house of prayer there. Later on, in 2002, our association asked that I would lead a mission team to go to the Ukraine, to Grigorievka, to renovate a building that used to be a daycare center, to renovate it into a church building. This is what it looked like before the work began. There was a team, I think, of seven of us. Dylan Cook, where are you, Dylan? Right there. Dylan was the only one from this church other than myself that went. There were a couple of individuals from First Baptist Waterford and from Berkeley Avenue in Turlock that went with us. That's what it looked like on the outside. This is what it looks like today. We spent a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort converting that building. On the inside, it looked like this when we first started. And today, it looks like this. And every Sunday, the house is packed with people. This was in 2002. We met a young man there who was our English interpreter. He was mission pastor of a house church in Chaplinka, which is, what, 20 miles? About 20 miles from Grigorievka. And we bonded a relationship with him, not only as our interpreter, but we got to know him, he got to know us. And after we came back to the States, we kept in contact with Zhenya, and he asked us, he said, "Can you help us over in Chaplinka?" The house that they were meeting in, I believe, belonged to an individual who wanted to give it to his daughter as a wedding present, if I'm not mistaken. And so they needed to move, but they had no place to move to. And so I told him, I said, "You find a place, and I'll bring it to the church, and we'll see what we can do to help you relocate your church." Well, he found a place. This was a house that was built by an individual in Chaplinka for his wife. But he ran out of money, and so it kind of sat like that for a while. Zhenya said this would be a great place to have a church. And so our church raised upwards of around $40,000. To buy this building and to send money over to the Ukraine to renovate this into a church building. These are the people who now meet in that fellowship, that church there. I could spend time pointing out all of the individuals and naming them for you, but this is a thriving church. It's a wonderful church. It's the finest looking building in the entire community of Chaplinka, and God's house ought to. Amen. How many of you here this morning were with us on the two mission trips, 2003-2004? Stand, if you will. 2003-2004. Dylan went with us. Huh? Which one did you go on? 2004. Stand up. 2003-2004. Katie went with us. Terry went with us. Deborah went with us. Dylan went with us. In the first service, Jim Barkman, Marco Rodriguez went with us. And we worked on renovating this building, that house, into a church building. This is what it looks like today. It's a beautiful, beautiful building. No, I didn't. Go back two pictures. If it had been me, it would have looked like that. Okay, go back. That turquoise square that you see right above the flowers in the front of the building, that is the right up above that is the porch area, and just to the left, you see a small rise right in there. That's where their baptistry is at. And in 2004, our last mission trip there, I had the privilege of baptizing six? I think there were about five or six individuals that I had the privilege of baptizing there in their baptistry. Zhenya, we have kept in contact with him over the years. Our last mission trip was in 2004. And so for the last 6 years, we've kept in contact via email and so on and so forth. He came to the United States this last year to Bettendorf. There is a church there that is also assisting them. And he spent some time there and asked if he could come out to California to visit us, to share with us his gratitude and the church's greetings for the work that we have done there. And so we picked him up on Friday. He's been with us. We took him to Yosemite yesterday to see God's creation out here in California. And he is with us this morning. We've asked him to come and preach. And so it is our privilege to have with us in our worship service Pastor Zhenya Bondarenko from the House of Prayer in Chaplinka. Come, brother.
Thank you so much for welcoming me, and it's no other than a privilege to be with you this morning and to share God's word with you, to have this wonderful fellowship. I'd like to start with passing greetings from the churches in Chaplinka, Grigorievka, and other churches that are around these places. And there are saints that some of you know personally. There are people who live, work, and do some ministry for the Lord. And we are so blessed by the House of Prayers that we have, and we are blessed that those are not simply buildings, not simply sanctuaries, not simply rooms, but all of these sanctuaries are filled with people, that people are comforted being gathering there, holding church services, worships, and various small Bible groups. And it is our blessing and privilege to be in a partnerships with you, and to every time you come to Ukraine, you bring your appreciation, your love, your care, your support, and it is very important for us just to be in contact. We are privileged, and we are so greatly blessed with. Last Sunday, I was in Ukraine. The brothers the churches, the saints, approached me, and they wanted to give not simply greetings in words, but they left those pictures and they left those signatures and some wishes, some Bible verses, some something that comes from their hearts. And they left something, primarily in Ukrainian, in Russian, but they wanted to say and to wish so many God's blessings that are left here in those verses. They wrote, some of them could write on English, some of them wrote on Ukrainian, on Russian, but they wanted to show their love and their appreciation and their understanding how difficult it sometimes it was to stay in constant partnership, how difficult sometimes it was just to leave your families, your places where you stay, your homes, for Jesus' sake, and to go to Ukraine and to spend time building, working hard from day to day, to change food, to change all the circumstances of your life because of Jesus' sake. And this is something we always remember. This is something that lies deep in our hearts. And we are so thankful for you are, for all the work, for all the ministry you've been doing throughout these years to us. We are in our comfort because you are so generous and so so willing to go and to be a servant to the churches and the people in Chaplinka. Before I continue, I'd like also to bring your greetings to our churches. And I know people will surround me as soon as I get there. They will be climbing pictures, some visual confirmations that I really was in Winton Baptist Church. And so I decided I need to take a picture of yours. So if you allowed me, and if you kindly stay smiling like you are now, because it will be helpful for me, and otherwise brothers will think that the sermon was boring. So, and I need to do this picture. 1, 2, 3. Awesome. Thank you. At one meeting when I was in some distant village, and a brother who couldn't come with me, he asked me to pass his greetings to the church. And when I extended my greetings and his greetings, one gentleman trying to joke stood up, opened his bag, and said, "Okay, where are our greetings?" At that moment I was embarrassed a little bit, but now, since looking at you, and I understand the bags are closed and the hearts are opened to hearing the Bible verses, I'd like to invite you to read this morning three different passages. Those passages are from three different books in the Bible. And those books also were written in different time. But all of these three texts tell us about one thing: the church in Ephesus. Now, as here we have a privilege to look back to all that were taken that took place there. Those people didn't have this privilege because when they got this letter, they opened it, read it, and they didn't know what to expect in nearest future. They could take this message seriously or not so seriously, but we have privilege looking back to all of this history of the church in Ephesus from the foundation to the end. We can learn and take some lessons. We can say now if we should take seriously Bible passages written for us, and what actually the church in Ephesus can teach us now. So if you open with me 1 Timothy, I will read from 1st chapter 2 verses, verse 5 and verse 6. And I'm using NAV Bible. So 1st Timothy, 1st chapter 5, 6. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good consciousness and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from this and turned to meaningless talk. You see, sometimes it happens that people forget about their very true goal. Because as we understand, the only true goal is love. And love is the only true goal for our gathering now, for this worship service, for all of the small Bible groups, for all of these fellowships. The only true goal is love. For some reason, people decided it is not so important. Maybe they thought they are mature enough to stay on the love basis, and they can think and talk about some other things that seemed to be more important for them at that period of time. So they decided to talk about some empty talks. And earlier verses like 3 and 4 tells us about that there were some people that taught false doctrines. And the verse 4 tells us about that those people denote themselves to some myths and to endless genealogies. So their true goal used to be love. And now they decided to talk about something else. That was one of the reasons that Paul decided to write this letter to Timothy. And he said, warning the church that this is the only true goal, love. And we need to stay in this this very true foundation. God's love should be the goal to experience during all of our meetings. God's love should be our motive for our actions. God's love should be the basis for every our fellowship. And the people in Ephesus knew about God's love. The foundation of the church in Ephesus brightly tells us about how important it was for them at that time. All the people were revolving around Jesus. Everything, all the activities in Ephesus were revolving around God. And everything was saturated with God's love. The letter to Timothy was written around 65 AD. And the church in Ephesus was founded around 55-53 AD, sometime like 10 years earlier than the first passage come from. And now we may open the books or the book of Acts just to read about the time of when the church in Ephesus was founded. The chapter 19 tells us about, and I start reading with verse 10. When Paul brought the gospel to the church, to the place, to the city Ephesus, and he preached about Jesus. This went on for two years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. That was the only message that Paul wanted to keep the people focused. The word about Jesus, the word of the Lord. And later we see as every message that we may read tells us about various situations that held in Ephesus. But every situation is finished by some very important phrases. Like, as you see, it's written beginning with verse 13. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. Those people who did not know Jesus personally, they used the name of Jesus to try to do something in their practices. Because Paul preached Jesus, and the word of Jesus was well known throughout the Asia province, and especially in the city of Ephesus. Even non-Christians tried to use this name, because this name has become so popular. And when they used this name, they would say, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preached, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and I know about Paul. But who are you?" Even then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Just picture for a moment this situation. Seven strong men entering the house. They do not know Jesus personally, but it is a very popular name. It is a fashion, and they use this name. And demon-possessed overpowered them, and they are naked, bleeding, running away from this house. All the people in Ephesus knew about it. And the end of the story tells us about the verse 17. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. This is the very foundation of the church's Ephesus. This is how they lived and how they were taught. And they were living such a life, leading such a life that the name of Jesus was held in high honor. Those people were involved in all witchcraft things. They had some magic books and everything. And since they become Christians, they didn't want to make any profit, any income by selling those books. They simply gathered those books and burned them on the central square. And again, the Bible tells us when they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas, which makes a whole bunch of money. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Again, the final verse, and this verse tells about how the name of the world was of Jesus was spreading in the church and in the place of Ephesus. That was their very foundation, and Jesus was the only true center for the church in Ephesus. 10 years later, when Paul wrote the letter to Timothy, we see how things had been changed. Probably they thought themselves as some mature people. Probably they thought that Jesus is not all we should talk about. And they decided to move from this very foundation. About 3 weeks ago, I had a situation in my life when my wife, Natasha, she asked me to take our daughter, Olga, to school because it was a rainy day and I have a motorbike, a little scooter, and she wanted me to take Olga to school. I went out, looked at the road, and the road seemed pretty good enough to ride a bike. I did it because we had pretty heavy snow. And in Ukraine, when we have snow, we don't have tractors to clear the roads. Snow remains until it is melting. So I thought, okay, the roads are clear. It was pretty warm. So I put Olga on my back seat and start riding my scooter. But soon I found out I was wrong, because the roads were covered with water, and at the bottom of the road some ice remained, and it was impossible to tell where it is simply water and at what parts the road was covered with ice and then with water. So I hold my steering wheel tight. And I became very nervous about. I want to take my daughter to school safe. And I began praying, "Oh Lord, help us." We did several skids, several turns. It was too slippery. And I was sweltering because, it was quite dangerous. And at the same time, Olga, sitting on the back seat, she was absolutely excited. She was trying to tell me all she could see. "Oh, Daddy, look, the dog is barking. It's amazing. Oh, some of my classmates are passing by. The blowing wind, the things are great." And at the same time, I was very sweltering because I knew it's quite a dangerous to ride such roads. Later, reflecting over this situation, I understand that this is what we have in our current Christian life. Because we enjoy lots of things. We have our salvation. We enjoy our hope in our Lord. We have such wonderful fellowship like this morning. We can preach and give this hope to some other people. We are excited. We are okay. We are comforted. But we know that somebody who is holding hard, who is holding tight the steering wheel, somebody pays for us to be in comfort. Somebody pays for us to have hope, to have salvation. And this is Jesus. As far as we let him to take first place, as far as he drives our scooter, we are saved. We are okay. What can be better for a human being? Just to trust the life into Jesus' hands and be in peace, knowing that he knows where to direct our car. We are okay, but we know Jesus is first. For some reason, at some particular time, the church in Ephesus decided to change their foundation. They decided to move from Jesus to some empty conversation, to some other interests. And they simply added Jesus to some other things. They made up formula Jesus plus something. This virus, as far as I understand, in Ukraine, has survived throughout the centuries. And now, if we can see outside in the grocery stores, in the drug stores, that we can buy everything with plus, like a toothbrush, two toothbrushes for the price of one. Like, here's a shampoo, and you have plus 20% for free. Like you go to a drugstore and you can buy this treatment, plus it helps you to do this. And it is okay when we talk about physical things, but as far as but sometimes people bring this lifestyle into Christian faith, and sometimes people start adding things to Jesus. And you know, if we take our personal growth, our personal relationship with Jesus, Jesus alone sets us free, but Jesus plus formula makes us slaves. If we talk about our families, Jesus alone sets us free. But if we talk about, if we say Jesus plus formula, this plus makes our spouses our spouses, it ruins our life. So all the time we can be diligently looking for only Jesus, because Jesus alone sets us free. Plus formula makes us a hostage, makes our families a hostage, and Jesus alone is the true center of our lives. I'd like to read the final Bible passage. It's written in Revelation chapter 2. And again, it's written in some 25 hours after, years after the first message we read. It's the book is dated around the year 19 AD, and we may see this warnings, these words that Paul wrote to Timothy, whether they were taken seriously or not. So Revelation chapter 2 verses 4 and 5. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the hate from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand. It took them around 25-30 years to remove completely from their very first foundation. We have a person who repented in Chaplinka in our church not so long ago. He is in his 30s, a person who owns his business. He has a wife, children. He loves his wife. His wife loves him. They are okay. And at some time, he decided to become a Christian. When he came back home, his spouse decided not to divide, not to share him with Jesus. And he has been doing lots of obstacles just to prevent him from going to church. Every time when there is a church meeting, when it is Sunday or Friday prayer meeting, he finds some obstacles to go because she creates it. At some time she hides his clothes, and one day he simply put on a door rack pants with all the holes and came to the church meeting. At some day he found that his shoes were absolutely wet. She simply put the shoes and all the slippers into a bucket of water, and she didn't want him to go to church. And so he decided to go barefoot. It was pretty cold, freezing, snow, everything, and it took about 2 miles to get to the place of gathering. He decided to go. He wanted to be in the church service. He didn't care about being well-dressed or being barefoot. He just came barefoot. And when I read about first love, I understand that this very first love is our only true condition that we may live and build our lives on. It is very important for each of us to check our motives. It's very important for us to stay in this condition of first love. How I build relationship? On Jesus alone, or I have some Jesus plus formula in my personal life, or in my families, or in raising children issues. My motives, my passion for non-Christians, and all of these questions, the church in Ephesus story helps us now to think about. Because we have this privilege to look from the foundation of the church and sometimes later with this slight move to some different foundation, and in some years after, we understand that they just forget about their first love. The history tells us that soon after the letter of the book of Revelation was written, the church in Ephesus and the city itself in Ephesus stopped existing. It was ruined. Those people probably thought it is not so important. It is not so vital just to stay in the foundation of first love, to stay and to be focusing on Jesus and Jesus alone. Those people didn't take it seriously. But when I think of you, and when we share, because lots of time having gatherings there in Ukraine, we remember you, we remember your teams, and lots of time we remember that because of your relationship with Jesus, because of this condition of first love, God made it all possible for you to be there and to do so wonderful work there in Ukraine. We are encouraged of being and having this partnership. Every time we think of you, we think with gratitude. And this is what I simply wanted to say, how much we appreciate all your effort, all your support, all your tears and all your time, every minute spent thinking and praying about Ukraine and about the churches. We are blessed, and we know somebody had to pay for it. Somebody who has their good conditions here, their lifestyle, somebody who has their spouses here, simply decided just to live for some time in order to go to Ukraine, to change air conditioning for hot, terribly hot days, to stay in very poor circumstances, to change all the food diet to the one that you are not accustomed to, because of Jesus' sake. And we understand it, we remember it, and we praise God every time we remember and we have meetings. We praise God for you are. So your faith and your teams, your contribution, and this example of first love, this is our example too. Example to us, and this is what you do, and we'd like that the work would be continued, the partnership would be prolonged, and that the work and the ministry that we would be involved all together would bring glory to our Jesus, would extend the boundaries of the kingdom. We praise God for each of you, and we thank God and we thank you for all you've done to us. Thank you very much. If you allow me to conclude this sermon with a prayer, let's pray, please. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity and this honor to be here with this blessed and wonderful church in Winton. I thank you, Lord, for being so merciful to us and for blessing us various ways throughout the hard work and contribution and support of this church and the support of these people. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us with your very lessons about how it is important to stay in the condition of true love, how it is important to keep your our center of our lives, and how it was important for us to look and to see to see you in the every common, in every team that came to our land. Lord, I thank you for this fellowship. I thank you for the pastor and the deacons and every individual that belongs to this church. I thank you very much, and we praise God for being so good to us. Thank you, and I ask that you would help us to stay in this condition, to check our motives, and to continue our work together to bring glory to your name, to extend your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything, and thank you again. In Jesus' name, our prayer. Amen.
Stand with me, if you will, please. The Lord is doing a great work in the Ukraine. Many, many people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ every day through the efforts of the workers, pastors like Jenya, like Sergei, Sasha, and many of the others that are working in and around the area. A lot of churches here in the United States are sponsoring mission teams, and they're sponsoring missions over in the Ukraine, and God is doing a great work through that. The gospel is being spread throughout China as we speak. Thousands of people are coming to the Lord every day. God is doing a great work in Korea. He's doing a great work in the Sudan. The Spirit of God is moving among the peoples of the earth, bringing people into the kingdom of God. And we want to continue to be a part of that. And so I extend an invitation to you this morning. First of all, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never met Jesus, if you've never come into a relationship with Jesus, partnered with Jesus in his kingdom work, the invitation of the Lord is given to you. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." He stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. Scripture says, "If any man hears my voice and opens up the door, I will come in and abide with him and he will." Salvation is just a prayer away. It's just an invitation away for you. Invite the Lord into your life. Invite the Lord to be your Savior. And be saved today. And partner with the Lord in the great work that He's doing, not only here, but all across the world. Secondly, it may be that God has burdened your heart to get involved in kingdom work. Not just to sit in the pew and listen to a sermon or go to a Bible study group, but to get involved. To get out in the highways and hedges and compel people to come into the kingdom of God. To be an evangelist, to share your faith with someone. To start a home Bible study group, to start a Bible study group here at the church, to become a part of the ministry team here in the church. Maybe God has burdened your heart to be a missionary, to get involved sharing the gospel of Christ with other people groups, other ethnic groups, not only here in the United States, not only in California, but maybe across the sea. There are ample opportunities and there are open doors for anyone who wants to get involved in the kingdom of God. It's not up to the Lord, it's up to you. God has done everything God is going to do to make us opportunities to get involved. It's up to you to say, "Yes, I want to become involved." Maybe your heart's desire is to become involved in the ongoing work in the Ukraine. Maybe through financial support. Many of the individuals, not many, but a number of the individuals that Jenya oversees in his ministry in the Treblinka area are going to the Baptist Bible Institute in Kherson to study for ministry. They need our help. Many of the people are very poor over there and they can't they can't support themselves and go to school. Maybe some of you would like to be a part of paying their tuition in school or helping them get the training that they need. There are other churches and missions that need our support and our help. Maybe you'd like to become a part of that. Maybe you'd like to get together another mission team. Go back over into the Ukraine. We have a team that's going to Guatemala this year. Maybe go back to the Ukraine and be a part of a leadership training team to help young pastors, to help new pastors become more acclimated to serving the Lord in those mission churches. I don't know what God has laid upon your heart, but I do know this. If you give it back to the Lord, He will bless it, and He will provide the means for you to be able to do whatever it is He's called you to do. And so we offer the invitation for you to come and to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ or to the call of the Lord into service. David's going to lead us as we sing. The altar is open. Whatever God has burdened your heart to do, give it back to Him. Let Him bless it and let Him provide open doors of opportunity for you to follow through as we sing. David, lead us.
Lord, my life is an empty cup. Here's my heart, would you fill me up? I'm face to the ground, forsaking my pride, leaving my will, my burdens behind.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.